Hello and welcome to Podcasting is Praxis. I'm James, my pronouns are they and them.
I'm Jamie, my pronouns are he and him.
I'm Rob, mine are he and him.
And I'm Alistair, my pronouns are also he and him.
And we're joined tonight by special guest Lila.
Oh, you must be sick of me by now. Greetings, runners. My pronouns are she and her.
And as Lila has just revealed, it's a cultural committee tonight. If David was here, David would be saying it's the last ever cultural committee tonight until I watch Andor. We're talking about The Running Man.
Hell yeah, we are.
Yeah.
The film about men who run.
Yeah.
The greatest work of satire in the entire American canon.
And it's so camp.
It is very camp, I'll give it that.
Imagine being like an American in 1987 and seeing this and RoboCop in the same year. You must have thought it was like Christmas.
It's peak. It's absolutely peak. Like, yeah, incredible cinema.
I did mean to ask you, Jamie, were all films like this before the 90s?
Yeah, pretty much.
What, good?
Yeah, this is what the 80s were like all the way through. Most of the people in this film were in every other Schwarzenegger film in the 80s as well. So
it's... They really were. They were. Like, it was actually... Rewatching this, it blew my brain, because as we're going through, I'm like, oh, I know that person, I know that person, I know that person. Don't know their names, but I just know from, like, seeing them in other Schwarzenegger stuff, because I've been on a bit of a Schwarzenegger kick recently.
Yeah.
So good.
Every single film in this person is just fucking amazing.
Are you referring to Arnold Schwarzenegger there? Because that's quite accurate.
I reckon you could fit quite a few films in Schwarzenegger, to be fair.
Oh, yeah,
not just did you reckon, but you have. Like, yeah. No, the guy's got a hell of a library associated with him. It's pretty good. I rewatched Commando recently, and I was like, yeah, that's a film. Okay.
I haven't seen that one.
So I rewatched True Lies. That fucking bangs so hard. That's incredible.
I bet none of them are as good as my personal favourite, Kindergarten Cop. So.
Kindergarten Cop is a banger.
It is a banger.
It shouldn't be as funny as it
I
is.
I love Kindergarten Cop.
Well, that's
we should.
Twins is also excellent.
Yeah,
You should absolutely watch Commando. It's amazing. The villain is a guy that looks like Freddie Mercury in a vest, like a wool vest that's painted to look like chainmail.
Yeah, it's
sounds,
no lies.
It's fucking amazing.
Very dope.
They run out of budget. They run out of budget for the finale, so they just literally filmed the two of them having a fight in the basement of the Fox studio.
It's so good, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they were like, "All right, we're out of money, so guys, you need to really bring your A game," and they did. Like, it was quite good. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd recommend watching it. It's got nothing particularly brilliant about it, other than just it's a Schwarzenegger film in the 80s.
That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean, True Lies is definitely like the 90s phase, but my particular personal 80s favorite is Red Heat, because like Schwarzenegger playing a Russian cop is playing communist is good.
I actually haven't seen
that. That sounds dope as well.
I've seen that, but I was a kid, so I don't remember.
What about Arnold Schwarzenegger driving around Glasgow talking about the Soviet Union? Would that appeal to you at all, Lila?
That would appeal to me deeply. As we are aware, that's all I watch these days.
And who can forget Batman Forever? Or was it Batman and Robin? I think it was
Batman.
Forever.
Yeah, but that's
he's in Batman and Robin. He's in the bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's Batman and Robin, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't remember.
Yeah,
Ice
to Meet You. That's that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Twins stands out to me because they put Schwarzenegger next to someone who can actually act.
Arnold Schwarzenegger can act? What are you talking about?
Schwarzenegger can definitely act. He's a very good physical actor in terms of like his
fucking
reactions
millennials.
To stuff.
Honestly.
don't lump me in with him.
Don't lump...
I was born in the wrong era.
So.
I'm more of a DeVito than I am Schwarzenegger.
I'm one of those for the 80s, which is...
Yeah. Oh, if only you were born in the 80s and you'd listen to all the rock and you'd be so much happier. Anyway, right, so Running Man is a 1987 American dystopian action film directed by Paul Michael Glasser.
Yeah.
And starring...
Which is... Starsky from Starsky and Hutch, for anyone who's interested.
And it's starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Maria Conchita Alonso, Richard Dawson, Yaphet Kotto, and Jesse Ventura! It's so good.
Yeah.
And Mick Fleetwood is also in it.
Yeah. Mick Fleetwood playing like his 80-year-old self.
Yeah, So this is how I watched this film, which was I watched it in two parts because when I first started watching it, I had taken an Ambien. So the first half. So the first half of my notes sort of do descend into madness. And then I woke up the next day and had to read back through them and so that I could remember where I was because I fell asleep with it on. The second half of the notes, more coherent, but I'm having a great time throughout.
And
it is a movie that is just like continuously one good time, though. Like, sorry, yeah. But yeah.
There's some things in it I didn't enjoy, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But just for anyone who's wondering, so it's really great. It's based on the novel of the same name. By Richard Bachman, who, as everyone should know by now, was actually Stephen King writing under
pseudonym. I don't think it's a novel. I think it's a short story. But
no, it's a novel.
No, I'm pretty sure I've read it and it was in a collection.
No, definitely. I'm literally looking at a Wikipedia page for it.
I mean,
Jimmy Wales says it's true, it must be true.
Yeah, I'll believe him. It has a total of 101 books.
Sorry, the book has a total of 101 chapters, and they are in a countdown format.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia too. I had no idea it was a Stephen King book. That's fascinating. No,
I read this when I was like 12, I think, or something like that. I don't remember it being any good, which is no surprise because I don't really like Stephen King very much. But yeah, no. So there you go. That's kind of what got the IP like moving. Is they were like, oh, you know, it's privately it's by King. Okay, we can do something with this. And what's really interesting, and this is the last thing I'll quote from Wikipedia, I promise, is that a lawsuit determined the movie was plagiarized from the French movie, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce that, Rob, tagging you in, please.
Oh, it's Le Prix du Danger, I think, yeah.
There you go.
There you are.
And, that's the setup, that's more or less what you need to know about the surrounds of the film. Everything else about it emerges in the actual... like play out of the film itself and what the film slowly reveals of itself and of its audience, because it does have like one cool thing going for it, which is that for a like dumb 80s, you know, hero action flick, it's very metatextual in its engagement with its own culture and audience, and it works quite well as a result of that. So right, Jamie, you're taking us through this plot, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess.
Said like someone who's only just realised that this has been lumped on them.
this was the plan, wasn't it?
Listen,
if you want my ambient version of the plot, we can go for that.
Actually, yeah, let's go for that.
No,
I was just going to say, like, Stephen King apparently hates the film.
He hates loads of the stuff that's based on his stuff, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he sued to get his name taken off the credits.
Oh, one of those ones. And yet he didn't do that with Thinner. Interesting.
Very interesting.
But yeah, it's like, it's, what, 2017, I think?
Yeah.
It is.
And
yes, it is the future. It is 2017.
Yet it takes place in the year of the, in the timeline that what would have happened if Corbyn hadn't have been rat-fucked in 2017. It's the official, it's the official Jeremy Corbyn jam gulag is where the running man is set.
Yeah, you get a big scrolling text at the start explaining that, like...
I have it here. I'll read it out. Cool. By 2017, the world economy has collapsed. Food, natural resources, and oil are in short supply. A police state divided into paramilitary zones rules with an iron hand.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, doesn't sound far-fetched at all, does it?
No.
I mean, it's about, what, 6 years off? So not too bad. Anyway.
But yeah, and it's a film that has no time for like trivial shit like setting up. You just straight right at the start, Arnie's in a helicopter. He's ordered to kill a bunch of civilians, and then he fights all of his other crew and gets arrested.
He does have a nice little FASH uniform on. I will give him like it's got some good costume design. Because like
trust the Dutchman in Switzerland to notice the FASH uniforms. Yeah, okay.
I just look, you know, it's style choices, and those are important.
This film has like such a multitude of amazing deliveries of the line "See you in hell," but the first one in the helicopter is the best one.
It is. That's the one that the soundboard's all sampled. I can see why.
Yeah. So they put him in the world's shittiest prison, which is just like a fucking a metal works with a.
I love that. Like the Doom guy refuses to fire on unarmed civilians and they send him to Mars. Arnold refuses to fire on unarmed civilians and they put him in like what? Just carry around girder land.
It looks like
they locked him up in like 1980s Scotland.
It's so good because like it, you just know. Someone somewhere got like a like you know what I mean like their universe's version of Elon Musk got paid a fortune to develop that stupid fucking like fence around the prison that makes your head explode if you run through it.
Yeah, they're all wearing these collars that'll detonate if they go through this sonic fence on the edge. And I've just realised it is like you're right, Rob. They are confining him to the set of an Iron Brew advert from the '80s.
But they
fantastic.
Put, like, they put the computer that turns off the thing inside the prison, and there's like five guards.
Yeah.
Well, there's two. The worst part is there's multiple like portable consoles which can activate and deactivate the fence, and they've got one inside and one outside, which leads to like a dueling banjo scenario where like the unit keeps trying to switch off the fence, and the guy outside keeps turning it back on, and the back and forth. While this guy's in plain sight, eventually the prisoners eventually have an idea of why don't we just shoot that guy to stop him turning the fence back on.
The prison is amazing because the guards have also allowed an inmate to be the most heavily Che Guevara coded person of all time. He's just fully with like his beret, his like full communist guerrilla gear, standing next to aged up Mick Fleetwood.
What I love is that prison must have like the fucking most like they do this big thing where they fake a fight and then like everyone just starts murdering the guards and stealing the computers and guns and stuff. But when they're bringing in those extra prisoners, the guy like turns off the sonic fence and you hear the like robot voice saying the sonic fence is deactivated, and then it's like there's fucking ages before they reactivate it, and there's only one guy sat on a fucking lawn chair with a laptop working the fence, and it's like that presumably goes around the whole prison. Everyone else is just running at the back while they're bringing the new guys in.
It's what prison should be like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's set in 2017, so of course it's got to be like really lax standards, and also he's allowed to wear his little Che Guevara outfit because it's his emotional support outfit, clearly.
Speaking of emotional support outfits, though, can I just like shout out to Arnold's great beard game? That's good beard.
Oh, yeah, the man could support a beard, definitely. What's particularly like interesting, I guess, about all of that shit is the fact that like the production values establish themselves early on. They've clearly put their budget into certain things, and like editing continuity isn't one of them, because there's a bit where they're typing in the code to deactivate the fence, and all the while the fence is giving a line like the fence is activated, the fence is activated, and then before they finish putting the code in, it switches to the other line saying the fence is deactivated, like a very different line essentially, even before the guys finish putting in, and they're like, now we got no time for that editing continuity shit. We've got to show Arnold hitting people with like bits of metal.
I like that the notes that you've made are about editing continuity, while as what I've written down is this hacker nerd should be Arnie's romantic interest.
He should be.
He should be, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
It would make a lot more sense than what happens.
I do enjoy the recurring theme of Arnie just hitting people over the head with big sticks, and then that strategy coming to a horrendous end at one point later in the film.
It's just a great scene. I just like that he's like A, got good beard game, and B, it's just like, behold my beard, behold me bear, like having the big girder, and it's just like, what does Arnie do in prison? Carry big girder. It's just great.
He carries the big girder in and then just like casually tosses it on the floor.
what I think is they've got going on is they've got Arnie is like lumberjack coded for a lot of this, which then comes up against his nemesis Chainsaw Man
so they escape. They go and meet the resistance, which is led by Mick Fleetwood and Dweezil Zappa, I want to say. It's one of Frank Zappa's kids, isn't it?
Sounds about right, yeah.
And they get the
Dweezil Zappa the same as the Che Guevara imitator, or have I confused myself?
No, I think it's the same guy.
He looks like Frank Zappa anyway, so.
Yeah, they get the like explodey collars, like cut off, and Arnie berates them all for like not being like fucking revolutionary enough.
Yeah.
While he's on his second or third cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh man, good. Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, he tells them now's the time for action, and they're all just all talk, so he's just going to flee the country. And yeah. So,
I like that as well. He's just like, I'm not actually interested in overthrowing whatever fascist regime they've got going on. He's just like, no, I just want to go hang out somewhere.
And they're all like, hey, you're the policeman who murdered a bunch of people. And he's like, well, no, I didn't, but yeah. And they're like, oh, well, okay, I guess that's fine.
Yeah, the Butcher of Barbican, that's what they were calling him.
All this happens, and then...
God, right, now I'm just picturing this movie, but it's Henry Cavill as like the lead instead of Arnold. Totally different vibe. Wouldn't carry.
Yeah, Arnie's actually Witcher coded.
But yeah, he goes to his brother's like apartment in the city It turns out that his brother got arrested and sent for re-education, and they gave his apartment to someone else, but they didn't change the door code because like no one can remember anything more complicated. It's like 445566 he puts in or something.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly it.
But
you know, actually, sorry, small detail. That number pad has like a differentiated tone for each button. So if you're standing in the hall, you can hear your neighbor's passcode to get into their flat. Yeah. Which I'm just like, okay, sure, great, why not?
Ding.
I was gonna say that code still seems a bit more secure than the fucking frisbees on pogo sticks thing they had going on in the prison.
Yeah.
That was clearly just there so you could see one guy's head blow up.
Gratuitous violence in this film. I mean, what are you trying to say there, James?
It's not gratuitous, it rules.
Yeah.
Would you say like, you were gratified by it, Lila?
Yeah, the synthesis of his position is it's gratuitous and that's why it rules, so sure.
Yeah, he meets Amber Mendes, who is a composer for The Network, which is like basically the BBC. In the future.
Yeah.
And he kidnaps her.
The Running Man, but presented by Anton Deck, has a real vibe.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it would be, these days, it would be Mr. Beast, wouldn't it? Like, it would be literal biblical devil Mr. Beast.
I mean, a short while ago, they would have gotten Philip Schofield for this, I feel. It shares DNA with the cube.
The thing that really stood out to me in the whole like apartment scene was just the way he says money.
Oh, I mean, I didn't. So the only thing in this film that I don't love is the fact that like that he does just do a bit of casual sexual assault to the female lead. It wasn't my favorite, wasn't great, but it was basically the only thing in the film that irritated me slightly, and will be fixed when we can all just like write our own AI films and I can change it so that the little nerd is his boyfriend instead.
Like, true. The only strong objections I have, by real talk, the only strong objections I have to this film are like all the misogynistic, casual kind of sexual assault stuff that's thrown in. Like, I really don't like it. And so, you know, warning to any listeners who decide to go and watch this film, it's an 80s film and it's got terrible sexual politics.
Problematic film from the 80s.
It's not that fucking bad. I mean, there's a bit, I've seen worse.
I don't know, I was watching it with Alex, and Alex was not a fan, frankly, of a lot of the stuff in it. But
The thing that stood out for me was just
kind of weirded out by, but maybe I'm just, you know, not female enough coded to, like, do that in general. But I watched it with my fiance and she was like, that's fucking weird. Who would do that? It's like she's doing like her crunches and like her exercises in like a black negligee, and we were both like, that's a weird outfit to wear whilst like exercising.
I don't exercise, so I can't comment on this.
I feel like the theme of ridiculous outfits does sort of bear out.
It's
The outfits in this film are one of my favourite things. I think one of the notes I took is, I love this. Everybody looks like shit, but in the best way possible.
Everyone looks like shit, but lit up with neon.
Yes, it's so good. It's genuinely, fashion peaked in the 80s and everything has sucked since then and we have to return with a V. Like...
They also have her working out to...
I was just going to say, like, that's the first appearance of Captain Freedom.
Yes!
By Jesse Ventura.
Yes!
Who is fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he kidnaps her and like they're going to like fly to Hawaii, which seems like the worst fucking like plan imaginable, because his plan is he's going to take his hostage through airport security.
I know. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Weirdly, she at one point she just punches him in the nuts and starts yelling for help, and his whole plan comes apart.
He should have just been nice to her, and she wouldn't have done that. I felt like,
although, yeah.
But he does have the best way ever of like avoiding what is basically passport control. Which is like, oh yeah, my passport is in my wife's bag, and
yeah,
you know,
like this fucking ball and chain. She brought some shoes instead of her passport. What a stupid bitch! That's like,
yeah.
So good.
And then the guard in the fascist like, dictatorship,
the fascist security guy's just like, oh yeah, fuck off. But the thing that stood out for me is when they're going through the airport. His method of like hostage control is to just hold the back of her neck constantly, like a weird guy you would see with his wife in like Weatherspoons or something.
Well, that's what's going on in the Weatherspoons, I think.
Yeah, yeah, at the end of the film, like spoiler alert, they share a kiss and then they walk away, and he does that again.
Yeah.
And I was like, that seems very weird. Like, why? Just put your arm around her. Like,
well, he might need a hostage again. You never know.
That's Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's genuinely how Arnold Schwarzenegger used to, like, you know, embrace his partners. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. So, you know, go figure. But I will say, there is a very important thing that's introduced in the airport scene, which is this film is entirely driven by the old, because the thing that gets him through that checkpoint is the old people who are also in the line complaining about him like taking too long to get through passport control. Like the entire, and when you get to like the, well, we'll come to it later, but you get to like key parts later and it's all old people are forming the bedrock that drives this engine.
I thought you were going to say that the important thing that was revealed in that scene was the big like futuristic van that shoots a net.
Yes, I love the net gun. The big triangle. The big triangle with a fucking net cannon attached to it.
Yeah.
I want to drive around in one of those.
My partner was like squealing with happiness when she saw like the net gun.
Yes.
What's great is that they did actually invent a net gun in 2017. I remember this from like a fucking, there was like this presentation that someone posted on YouTube from like this one of these military conferences, of like police conferences that we do over in the States. They had like a bolo net gun.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if you went and looked on like, I don't know, the Internet Movie Firearms Database or some shit, that net gun they used in the film was probably a real thing that someone tried to pitch to law enforcement in 1987.
I mean, maybe.
They should give me one, I reckon.
You should have two. You should be able to dual wield them.
I think you're right. I'm glad that you're on my side, Rob. You'll escape the net gun treatment.
That mad suffragette woman that complains about the pedestrianised zone.
Oh yeah, she's getting netted.
I'm loving the idea of like Lila just like firing like a t-shirt cannon into a crowd and just like,
oh, imagine Gritty with a net gun.
I think someone cosplayed that, actually. God damn.
Sorry, Gritty with a net gun. I'm sorry, but
yeah, no.
Are
I'm
you
Googling
sure?
This now, hang on.
Yeah, are
how
you
many
on
ambience are you on? Just
it might just be heat madness. Hang on. We'll keep going. Go on,
we'll leave the end talk while we figure out the
very, very generous of you.
No, we're all Googling Gritty with net gun now. So
although I don't really understand, like. You know, speaking of amazing outfits, Arnold with the little Panama hat and the amazing Hawaii shirt on.
Yeah. The loudest shirt in humanity.
Shirt is so good.
When she tells him she gets travel sick and she's going to throw up, and he says, like, go on, it won't show on this shirt.
Yes!
It's great. Throughout the film as well, we get treated to a lot of like scenes in the sort of backroom production of the Running Man TV show, which are all great.
Oh, yeah, great. There's so many great lines, like, get me the president's agent.
Yeah.
It's great, though, because it's all done in the NASA control room.
Wait until you get your court-appointed fucking choreographer or whatever the line is.
Your
legal agent.
Court-appointed theatrical agent.
That's the one.
Who also just talks in gibberish legalese as well.
I loved the gibberish legalese. It was so fucking good. Like, every part of it.
You know, but like, we can do all like recordings. serious political analysis point here, and it's like, oh yeah, it's, you know, entertainment's more important than politics, and have you noticed that more politicians are all like celebrities these days? But, you know, go to another fucking podcast with that. This is a good movie.
Well, also, I don't even think that that's the point of the film, right? Like, the point of the film is that, like, it's cool to do fucked up entertaining violence as long as you do it to fascists. Like, yeah. And we should definitely record fascists being shot through death chutes. Like, yeah. That's the moral. And I personally sign off on it 100%.
And the great thing about that sentence is I don't think it's actionable.
No, it's not.
Yeah. The bit with the attorney is like the agent as well, when he's like telling them, you know, he's waiving his rights to all future recordings on methods known and unknown. It's like they even imagined that someone might invent the MP3 someday.
Amazing.
And
when he stabs him with the pen as well is great.
Yeah.
That line about all future methods both known and unknown, I'm pretty sure that's taken from a Hollywood contract at the time, which is what makes it even better.
But yeah, so anyway, they blackmail him into appearing on The Running Man, which is a little bit weird because, like, no one else seems to get, like, a say in whether they appear or not.
Well, they give him a load of sci-fi torture drugs, right? Yeah.
Basically, they just dragged out Phillip Schofield to be, like, on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, just to jack the ratings. It's that.
Yeah, they also... They say that basically anyone who's military, like, this is actually kind of cool little point because he's police.
Yeah.
But later they say, well, you know how it is. Anyone who's military, we're not allowed to put on Running Man. You know, we can't compel them. And so because he's police, aka military, they have to get him to basically sign a disclosure. And the way they do it is by threatening they'll make his two mates who aren't military do it in his place.
One of whom, as we've established, is his boyfriend. But
right. Know, and yeah, if that was his canonical love interest, it would just would have that sting slightly better.
Yeah, but then he goes on The Running Man, and then it turns out like the fucking it turns out Killian, who is a fucking phenomenal creation, I think.
Oh god, yeah.
He is just so good. The film just would not work if you didn't have anyone like anywhere near as fucking charismatically a shithead as he is.
So good.
But he double crosses him and sends his two mates like down the fucking those little tube sled things are amazing, because when he's going down you hear the people in the control room say something about the vacuum sled, because it's meant to be like a, you know, it's meant to evoke a vacuum tubes type system, but there's clearly not an airtight seal because the fucking thing's like
it's
a wireframe.
Yeah.
yeah it looks like a playground toy.
Yeah,
but fast.
Yeah,
it looks like a playground. Is, like I would do that as a playground ride. Like if it was like a theme park or something. Well, I would
do it to be on The Running Man.
Yeah, Elon Musk would do that as a mass transit system.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't. It's too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't kill enough people.
Musk, what happens if there's a traffic jam in The Running Man tube?
They just pour butter down it.
Send more running men.
But yeah, so they get down there, and like the way the format of the game show itself is incredible. They just picked like some pensioner out of the audience to come and like pick a stalker that has to chase them, and then as the stalker like make every time the stalker makes the crowd cheer, you get a free board game. Seems to be the rules.
Yes, rules.
It's amazing. We should mention as well, Killian picks out his number one fan in the audience, which is this like sweet old lady who turns up later on and is just fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, we should. Did we, by the way, say like Killian is like the game show host / creator of The Running Man? And like we haven't explained any of this. The Running Man is basically like the future fascist.
I mean,
society
I'm a terrible podcast host. I just automatically assume everyone knows what the fucking Running Man is. No. So. it'd be like inviting me on and having me explain what the Bible is to someone. Do you know what I mean? It's just I assume everyone's aware of this like very important historical document.
And if you're not, you should go and watch it immediately because it's dope.
Yeah. Yeah, the Running Man in the book is very British, like in Stephen King's like headcanon, the Running Man is a very British TV show because it's not like this big spectacle or anything. There are in fact like I think multiple British TV shows that are basically this.
I was gonna say there's that one about hunting people, isn't there? And it's like they always get
basically
yeah.
that's basically what it is. Like in the book, the guy, his wife's sick and he can't afford to pay for the medicine, I think. So he signs up to do the running man, and the theme is he's got to just evade capture for as long as possible. But then his family get killed by a mob because like the papers put about that he's like a fucking, you know, because they can't catch him, he's too good at it. So the papers put out that he's like secretly a terrorist and a fucking insurgent and all this shit. And so his family get killed by a mob and he gets hunted by like all these people. But it's not like they don't send, like, you know what I mean, people with weird wrestling gimmicks to try and kill him with sharpened hockey sticks or anything like that. It's a much more boring like fucking story in the book. Stephen King should be thankful that someone like turned his book into something this fantastic.
Yeah, was Stephen King writing this one not on coke? Was that the problem?
Yeah,
from the 70s,
this is one of his sober novels.
Yeah, or he had like the really crap 70s coke. Like that was like he was just basically like rubbing baby powder into his gums and being like, oh yeah, this is. Yeah.
Strangely, this isn't a member of a pod I expected to come with, like, you know, historical facts about the quality of cocaine over time. But yeah, there you go.
The book version does end with 9/11 though.
Wait, what?
The guy,
are you confusing this with The Notebook?
No, for whatever reason, he's like he survived so long on the run that he ends up like demanding, like he says he's got a bomb and they have to bring him a plane, and he gets on the plane and they go like, oh, we know you don't have a bomb because there's like explosive detecting dogs in the door of the plane or something that would have gone off. But he like kills everyone on the, because he finds out then that he's like wife and kid are dead, so then he kills everyone on the plane while it's in midair and flies it into the skyscraper where the TV studio is.
Dope.
Yeah.
Stephen King, confirmed member of Al Qaeda there.
Yeah. But apparently,
this book
as well,
is dedicated to the brave Mujahideen fighters.
Yeah.
Apparently, something I noticed on the Wikipedia is that they're apparently making a new film based on the novel.
Oh no, it'll be so boring. Is it going to have Tom Cruise in it?
Edgar Wright's directing it. And it's like, I mean,
it's going to be bad.
Probably. You could do a very like good low key British version of this. Do you know what I mean? Just have some random working schlub being pursued by Danny Dyer or something like that.
Yeah, I guess the thing about Edgar Wright is that all of his films are style and no substance, right? So it could be fun, but sometimes I feel like he doesn't realize that he's style and no substance and doesn't lean into it hard enough.
It's kind of crucial that he doesn't know. I think if he did, it would lose some of the magic. Like, him trying very earnestly to put substance in there is part of what gives it the style that it's got. I don't know.
But I strongly dislike
Edgar Wright, I'm afraid. So.
I think we can all agree, like, Edgar Wright is not going to fucking beat Starsky from Starsky and Hutch in this specific competition.
Exactly.
Probably not.
They should let me
anyway,
direct
to get
it.
Back to the fucking movie, so The Running Man is like the fast
check
game
check
show.
Check out Mr. in a Rush here.
Yeah, I don't know why. We could just fucking just ramble on. I'm just here for the.
Don't interrupt Rob when he's actually progressing the podcast forward. You know what I mean? Or we will be here till tomorrow.
Somebody clip that.
Yeah. So The Running Man is the TV show that basically the Fast Society has devised to keep everybody entertained while they're all miserable as shit because, you know, society's miserable and shit and there's no food anymore. And the host is Killian, and Killian he's both the host and the creator, and he is fucking incredible. He's also played by the guy who was actually the game show host for Family Feud for like decades in the US. So he brings actual like game show host game, if you will, to the whole thing, and
Do you think Edgar Wright's version is going to have Les Dennis?
That would be good, actually. Or who is... They should do it with Keith Chegwin and have everyone be naked again. The Jungle Running Man. It'd be dope.
I'm just picturing the Running Man except made on the basics of, like, Pointless or something like that. Anyway.
Oh, Jesus. The Running Man hosted by fucking Osman.
Oh, you could have Osman be one of the stalkers, though, because then you'd get to see him have his head ripped off.
Yeah.
Also, he's incredibly, like, weirdly tall. So, like, he could have, I don't know. We could get a suit for him made for Richard Osman. With like
yeah,
a big
be, like,
target
some sort
over
of
his
slender
fucking
man,
head.
Like a slender man kind of creepy,
yes!
horrible thing.
Yeah, I'll try and avoid looking at him if I can help it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually, that
I
actually,
mean, I would not be surprised if.
Oh.
There we go.
Right.
God, I can't believe I got away with Stephen King being in Al Qaeda.
Yeah, Rob just has to spoil it for everyone.
That's just fact.
Yeah, since you bring up like horror monsters, it did occur to me when I was watching this like recently that they should add all of these characters to Dead by Daylight.
Yes, they definitely should. Especially Dynamo.
Yeah. So
just
anyway,
operatic music getting louder as the killer comes closer to you.
Now that we know what is the running man, we'll get back to the thing. So they bring Arnie out in like an incredible spandex jumpsuit.
He doesn't reveal though. He does like a rip off reveal, yeah. And then the crowd all start like
so
doing doing horny cheering. It's really dope.
It's great with the dancers and everything. It's fucking amazing. And what I love about it is there's a close up where you can see the Adidas logo on the. On the sleeve.
Mm-hmm. Alex pointed out product placement too, which is really
good. I know that's why it's so
multiple
good.
Times, and like my partner was just like, how is this possible that Adidas like put their logo on this? Because it's not like, you know, it's just
they'll not have known. They're just, oh, do you want your product in the new Arnie film? They'd be like, fucking yes, we do.
Yeah, because this is when they had that good cocaine, so the Adidas exactly like, yeah,
no, right, okay. So, like, you're saying that in the 70s, the cocaine was terrible, and that's what led to the Stephen King novel.
Yes.
And in the 80s, the cocaine became good, and that's what led to
film. I'm sorry, are you
disputing
that in the 80s, the cocaine was good?
I mean, I got no reference, and besides, even if I tried it, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
What do you mean you've got no reference? The 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they fire him down the tube, and some little old lady decides that her favourite stalker is Sub-Zero because she likes a man big and cuddly.
Also, on the point of the tubes, the carts that they're going down in, they just completely rebound off this fucking, like, pathetic net, considering how fast they're going. Oh, completely broken.
Well,
immersion.
No, they also
doesn't look very safe, does it?
If you look closely, before they hit the net, they start firing these like rockets out the front as like to slow them down.
My favorite thing though is there's like a bunch of like biker S&M guys at the end of the tube that are waiting for them, and their job is seemingly to move the rocket sleds before the next one hits the net.
They're candidate
and then
herders.
Herd everyone on motorbikes, which is great.
Can we have this job in like the good future?
I want to be one of the dance.
Oh,
I want to be one of the Paula Abdul dancers. I know. Yeah. Like this is what my list, and they all had to do like hairspray and blow drying for that. My hair just does that naturally. So like, I should definitely be one of the running men, like booth babes.
One of the running women, Lila.
Yeah. So they get herded into a hockey rink, and then Sub-Zero attacks them with his sharpened hockey stick.
It's so cool.
Yeah. He's basically
like
scores
a goal with the computer nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we have to introduce... Right, so the other main point is like of the running man is basically they have to get through like a series of like Mortal Kombat arenas basically facing off against
increasingly... It's the Crystal Maze.
Yeah.
You have to go through like all four zones of the Crystal Maze.
Yeah, but every zone is inhabited by like a different psycho killer, and this is Sub-Zero, who is basically like sort of a cross between like a sumo wrestler and an ice hockey player, but he's got like a massively sharpened ice hockey stick and exploding
and an
pucks,
inability to
cool
cut in a diagonal
hell.
Direction.
What I love about it though is like you know, the first zone they end up in the hockey rink and the woman picks Sub-Zero. Imagine if the woman had picked like Buzzsaw, he would set his fucking neck trying to chase them across ice.
Maybe he's got little chainsaw skates, you don't know.
Maybe there's like a crew of those builders who like, you know, repair rooms, etc., like running ahead of them and building like an ice rink before they arrive, just as fast as possible.
The Tom Clancy plasterers.
Yeah, exactly. Except it's for Tom Clancy ice rinks creators, you know?
Fucking that guy with all the goggles from Splinter Cell driving one of those fucking, what is it, a Zamboni?
Yeah.
He'd need the goggles too, because it's a very dark set, so.
But yeah, so they fight they Sam fight Sub Zero. Yeah, that's the guy. They fight Sub Zero in the ice rink, and he cuts like there's like razor wire fences everywhere, and he cuts through one of the posts with his hockey stick.
That's unleashing Arnold Schwarzenegger's best weapon, which is
yeah.
a stick, a big stick yeah. with razor wire on it.
Yeah, he skates full. He skates full speed into the razor wire and gets it wrapped around his neck, and then Arnie like strangles him and cuts his throat at the same time. And yeah. like the whole audience
cool.
is all devastated and everything. And Arnie says like Arnie like points at the body and goes like, "Here is Sub Zero, now Plain Zero," and then walks away like high five and Yaffa Cotto.
Yeah, every single last like one liner that Arnie has in this movie yeah. just bangs. It just fucking bangs.
It's so good.
They're all so funny.
Yeah, it's peak Arnie, quite frankly.
It's not peak Arnie, but it's definitely up there.
Classic Arnie.
What's peak Arnie then?
Honest to God, it's probably his lines in Commando. I'm sorry, Commando isn't as good a film, but it's probably his lines in it.
Commando is great, like, but yeah. Anyway, so they kill Sub Zero, and but even though he's dead, the woman still won a copy of the home board game because he like scored a goal with the nerd. And so then they escape to the next zone, and there's all sorts of like carry on behind the scenes. There's a great bit where like Killian's talking to the Department of Justice, I think.
Yeah.
And he's explaining to them, he's like, "Yeah, I know a stalker died, but it had to happen eventually. It is a contact sport."
Yeah.
I didn't have the chance to really get to know Sub-Zero before he died, so I you know, it was a bit harder for me to like really get in touch with him.
You got to know like, his two personality traits, which were Japanese and likes hockey. What more do you need?
Yeah, he was a professor, so...
That's a well-rounded character.
He was just a cool guy, and that's all you need to know. Jamie, do you want to do love interest B-plot that's happening at the same time here?
Yeah. Yeah, so the woman he kidnapped sees on the news that, like...
yeah.
They're saying that he shot, like, a bunch of people at the airport... immediately upon arrival and everything, and she's like shocked that that isn't true.
Wow, these so fascists sure do a bunch of fucked up shit.
Yeah. So she uses her like security clearance as the woman who writes the jingles to go and like like go into the secret like fascist film archive do not enter part of the studio and find the original unedited footage of like him yeah. refusing to shoot the civilians,
which just keep lying around. It's like it's very yeah. much a box of my crimes. It's great.
Yeah,
but
got...
she finds it. She like she puts it in her pocket and then immediately gets like 10 seconds later she gets grabbed by someone, and then later on at the end of the film she's got the like little thing on her still, and Arnie's like, "Where did you hide that?" And she's like, "None of your business." And it's like, "Well, it was up your ass, wasn't it? That's like really the only place you could have put it." Yeah, so they catch her, and then they decide to put her on the running man as well as a surprise contestant, and they tell everyone that like she was Ben Richards' lover, and she cheated on her college exams, and she sometimes had sexual relations with two, even three men in a year.
I love how they emphasize
different men.
Yeah,
like they put the weight on different, and it's well, like okay,
Killian's sure. actually an incel. Like they don't spell it out, but
oh, it's so good. We also skated over Killian's worst crime towards the start of the film when he's entering the studio, doing a walk and talk with his assistant, and the cleaner bumps into him, and he's all dead friendly. Like, "Oh no, don't worry, you're doing a great job. These floors look spotless and everything." And then the second he's out of earshot, he's like, "If that arsehole's washing the floors tomorrow, you'll be washing them from then on."
Doesn't respect his workers.
Nah.
The question is, if they get rid of that guy, who's going to do the cleaning? Because I don't see anyone else with a mop.
Yeah. My favorite member of the like backroom production staff is the guy who's also the producer on Wayne's World.
Oh yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah,
he also plays a demon in Supernatural for a while. For those,
yeah. I mean, doesn't everybody? Supernatural's like America's version of The Bill. Everyone was in it.
Yeah. It's been on for longer than The Bill, I think.
Quite possibly, yeah. But yeah, he treats all of the staff like shit, and it's his ultimate downfall because he berates Sven for, like, you know, what do steroids make you deaf? And then at the end of the film, like, when he wants Sven to protect him from Arnie, Sven just says, like, I've got to score some steroids, and leaves. And it's like, if you'd only been nicer to your workers, you wouldn't have, like, been, you know, fired out of a fucking cannon.
If you'd only respected steroid users, that's the message that Arnie wants to get across.
Yeah, I mean, you should absolutely respect that specific steroid user as well. He was in tons of fucking films.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to find an Arnie film he isn't in. Also, he was in Hunt for Red October, so...
He, I believe he's mates with Arnie. Oh, well, he was. I don't know if he... Like, I don't know the history, but, like... I believe he was mates with Arnie.
Well, get on Facebook and find out. We'll wait.
Yeah, all right, sure. I'll get right on that. Anyway, but yeah, no, he was in a lot of the same films for that reason. Like, he was part of Arnie's crew, from what I understand.
He's one of fucking James Earl Jones's henchmen in Conan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I say, my favorite role of his is one of the fucking Red October's crew in Hunt for Red October. There's a great shot of him singing the fucking Soviet anthem.
That's another great movie. I watched that again the other day. It's so good.
Yeah, it is.
It is very good. The shot where they transition languages is still an all-time, like, one of the best shots in cinema, frankly. But anyway, right, so continuing on, podcasting is cinema minutia.
Yeah, so Amber meets up with the other three of them in the middle of the zone, and some fucking dweeb who can't, like, he's asked which stalker should we send after them next, and can't reach a decision, so they just send both of his choices.
Hell
which
yeah.
Is Dynamo, who is like a wrestler in a tiny car. It's just, the car is fucking amazing.
Like,
the car
is incredible. I love
the guy who
car.
Plays Dynamo, like, was a Dutch wrestler, right? He's one of
the
people.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
That explains a lot.
You're a Dutch pro wrestler, right, Rob?
It's something called...
Oh,
something...
my God. What is Rob's stage name as a wrestler?
No, technically Dutch, but, like, he's
technically
not really
Dutch.
Not properly
technically
Dutch.
Technically Dutch.
Oh, okay. I'm
That's
sorry. Do you need to get your head calipers out to assess his Dutchness?
He moved to the
Dutch.
U.S. when he was five.
He was
like,
Dutch,
that
but
doesn't
he, lived, count. He spent too much time in New Jersey, so now he's technically Italian.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the best character in the film, anyway.
Yeah, they just went like, what would a Dutch man wear in the future? And they were like, some kind of like LED fascist wear.
He's my favourite. Like,
as much polycarbonate as you can fit on one man.
Yeah, it's and his gimmick is
he's actually
he's
actually of Dutch nobility, like lower tier, but like he's Dutch nobility.
Right, sorry, pausing a second. For real, like yeah.
he's a Junker, he's a Jonkheer, which is like a sir or an esquire, like titled nobility.
Dynamo
for his work in The Running Man, or like separate from that?
No, it's hereditary. It's just a family thing.
Yeah, but yeah, he shoots lightning out of like some tubes on his arms.
In his pants, by the looks of it.
Yeah, and he's got a big sign that, like, what does it say? Holler if you love the Dynamo.
Clap if you love Dynamo.
Oh, clap if you love Dynamo.
And he lights up the different bits by shooting Lecky at it.
He's my favourite. They should have let him win. No.
He's covered in...
Sex offender Papaltine's certainly a look.
He's wearing a plastic breastplate covered in Christmas tree lights. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's definitely like future fashion at its finest. But he also sings opera.
Apparently, again, I'm on his Wikipedia page, because his whole family is apparently into like singing. Like, he's got a brother and a sister who are also like sopranos and baritones. So, like, I don't know, maybe he actually sang it himself. I really hope he did. That's
I
so
hope
cool.
so too.
Yeah.
What a cool guy, honestly. Like,
This feels like one of those things where it's like the director's like, so what can we do with you? And he's like, oh, I can sing opera. My director's like, stay right there. Yeah. I ain't got an idea.
Stay right there. We've got to get all these fucking Christmas tree lights on you.
Can you sing opera? Yes. Well, then, boy, do we have a tiny car for you.
Yes!
Okay, I'm claiming his back. I'm claiming him back. He is Dutch. This guy fucking owns.
Yeah, and the car is fucking incredible. It's like, this is going to be the worst like fucking nerd reference I've ever made. But if anyone's played Dark Future, like the old like fucking post-apocalyptic car game from Games Workshop in the 80s, it looks like one of the fucking like outlaw cars in that. But if you put like an action man in it, so his head poked through the roof, it's just completely the wrong size for him. It's so good.
Yeah,
it's got a little
Knight Rider fucking light on the front, but it looks like a go-kart.
It's like the Carmageddon ridiculous version of a Reliant Robin. I think that's the best way I can describe it.
It's great, and he rolls it over by just trying to drive it up a small hill. And it rolls over like six times, and it's like, mate, like, how have you not broken your neck there? You know? Like, the first rule of car safety is you don't poke your head out the top of the roll cage.
Well, he's got all that safety plastic on, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Load-bearing polycarbonate.
I love the idea that Arnold like took one look at him and went, right, he clearly can't fucking drive, so I'm just going to run up this hill and that'll like count.
Well, it worked for Kate
and
Bush.
Lo and behold.
Yeah, so Arnie and the gang gets split up, and Arnie and Yaphet Kotto have to fight Buzzsaw, who's riding a motorbike covered in chainsaws.
Yeah, Buzzsaw's also pretty camp, right?
I mean, you see first at the
introduction of the whole film where he's like getting out of his car and like lifting a big motorcycle and just like roaring.
Yes! He's the guy that's like hammering into the crowd with a motorbike. Yeah. He rules.
And he punches some fan, like yells at him, and he punches the guy in the face and knocks him over, and then the guy's like, did you see that? Buzzsaw touched me. But
he's got like a mesh vest on and shit. Yeah, okay, yeah. Dope.
Yeah, he's just a fucking redneck woodsman, basically. He just likes chainsaws.
Arnold's lumberjack coded. This guy brings out a chainsaw, and Arnie like can no longer hit people with like wood anymore.
Yeah, there's that great bit where he picks up like a fucking girder, and he tries to like.
I thought that was a bit of wood.
No, because there's like smoke coming off it when it gets.
I mean, that can mean anything, Jamie. I don't think that's conclusive.
I mean, it is. It is literally a piece of wood they've painted to look like a girder. But like, but yeah, he tries to duel the chainsaw, and they're just left with like a smoking stump of girder.
And then doesn't his boyfriend at this point try and do some hack the planeting to get them out of everything?
Yeah, they boot up a PlayStation 2 and try and hack the fucking loading screen on that.
Yeah, it's because as they're going around, like the nerd guy notices that all the satellite dishes are pointing into the middle of the fucking zone rather than at the sky.
Yeah.
Rations that the uplink for the network, that if you just, you know, you go and you plug your fucking iPad into that, and like you'll be able to take over all TV in the world. It must be in the middle of the zone. And he needs to find it and like get the code off it for Mick Fleetwood. So him and Amber are doing that while being pursued by Dynamo, and he gets the code by like hacking a bunch of hexagons like it's the fucking the lawnmower man.
Yeah.
And he makes Amber memorize the code and then gets electrocuted by Dynamo.
if only he hadn't asked her to remember that, and then he would have been able to stay in the film.
Yeah, but then meanwhile, Yaphet Kotto gets tagged with a chainsaw and like by heroically saving Arnie, and then like Arnie kills Buzzsaw in like the most ludicrous fashion ever, because they're like they're fighting and they're wrestling over one chainsaw, and Arnie manages to just like turn it. It's like right up by his face, and then he manages to turn it 180 degrees, and it's like, how are their arms working at that point?
Because they're so strong. Yeah,
Arnie is just too hench. Like, he essentially out-henches the very henchman.
Yeah, he's so strong, he can out-strength geometry, you know?
Yeah, but they're like holding that chainsaw, and then they just rotate their arms like 180 degrees without letting go of it. It's well impressive.
For someone who's very familiar with rotating PDFs, you seem to be confused by human geometry.
But Buzzsaw like tells him, you know, he loves it. Like, it, what's great is when Buzzsaw delivers this, like, setup for Arnie's kill joke, he introduces, like, he says Richards at the start just to clarify which of the, like, one person in the room with him he's talking to.
I really do think... I really do think that he should just be called, like, they should just always call Arnie's character Arnie, because it's too much of a suspension of disbelief to believe that that man is called Ben. Like, it's it's not happening. Sort of
Ben. Yeah, no.
Ben Richards. What the fuck kind of name is that?
Yeah.
Apparently, according to the wiki, at one point they were considering Christopher Reeve to play him. That would have been a much worse film.
That would have been a shit fucking film. Fucked.
Yeah, pretty bad, I reckon.
But yeah, so Buzzsaw tells him he loves this saw, and he's going to make it a part. This saw's a part of me, and I'm going to make it a part of you. And then Arnie, like, stabs him in the nuts with it and says, it's okay, you can keep it. And then later, when Amber asks what happened to Buzzsaw, Arnie says he had to split.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so good.
Hardest working man in comedy. Honestly,
there's also the best line in the entire film is when she's going, "Oh, you know, maybe we should have stayed on a flight to Hawaii." Arnie just turns around and says, "Well, I had to shirt for it, but you fucked it up," which is like
actually
the best fucking line
is when Fireball comes down on his jetpack and she goes, "Jesus Christ!" and Arnie just goes, "Guess again."
Yes.
Well, I do, and obviously, like, it is the 80s, so they have to, like, it's practical effects, but, like, the pathetic little fireworks that they stick in the little tubes. Oh, man, yeah, that's not going to support a man of that weight and all that fuel. No way.
Yeah, but, so the kill Buzzsaw, Yaffa Kotto and the nerd guy get killed, but heroically, because Arnie has a moment where he says, like, he saved my life and it should be me that's dead there, and I think that's when he decides he's got to help, he's, like, morally obligated to overthrow the fucking fascists. Dynamo rolls his car. There's a great bit. Dynamo rolls his car and he's like lying in the wreckage with his like fucking weird like electric armor malfunctioning, yelling, "Cut to commercial, I've got no power." And Arnie like comes up to him with a scaffolding pole, but then doesn't kill
him.
Weapon
of choice, yeah.
Yeah, even though the whole audience is going, like, kill.
He says, like, I will not kill, like, a helpless human, even sadistic scum like yourself, and all the audience are booing because he hasn't killed anyone. It's such a great moment.
It's so good. There's a guy in a bow tie as well who does some really, like, top-tier comedy booing where it's, like, where he's literally just going, "Boo! Boo!" right, instead of actually, like, shouting.
It's not the size of the boo, it's the quantity.
There's nothing funnier than booing, I'm afraid. It's like it's always the funniest thing that can happen.
Yeah, it's so good. And so then they decide they're sending in like Fireball, but they're all like, and you know, Dynamo's back in the game once they're gonna like once they recharge his like Wi-Fi or whatever. And they get the old lady who's like Killian's biggest fan up to ask her who she thinks is going to get the next kill, and she's deliberating about it, and she said, "Oh, it's a difficult choice, but I'm going to have to say Ben Richards." And the audience were like, "No, you can't do that."
Happen.
Yeah, and they all Killian, lose
their mind. The audience says, like, "No, his name's Arnie."
Killian says, you can't like he's a running man. You've got to pick a stalker." And she's like, "I can pick whoever I want, and I pick Ben Richards. That boy's one mean motherfucker."
To be honest, I was kind of surprised at how much, like, there was substantially more swearing than I expected there to be in this. I expected there to be zero because of, like, you know, America, but violence
it's,
fine.
It was rated 18 over here, and, like, pretty much the same in the US from what I recall, yeah. So, you know.
That's the thing, in the 80s, they didn't just, like, default to every film has to be something that the whole family can watch. Like, you were allowed to make, like, a huge blockbuster with Arnie in that only adults could go and see because there was like loads of fucking swearing and boobs in it.
But then the kids would see it anyway.
Yeah,
so like
that's an important thing. That, like, you know, this film came out when I was 10 and I saw it. Like, there was a guy that used to like drive around the estate selling selling fucking VHS tapes out the back of his car.
I bet he was an amazing character.
Yeah, we used to get all like this American Ninja. Like fucking Critters, it was just great. But yeah, so they get the they've got the code for the fucking thing, and they're escaping from from Fireball, and they discover the previous, like, last season's winners, who were all just corpses.
Yeah, they're like really funny, like Halloween shop skeletons. Also,
yeah. I also really like again, you know, much like the room in the recording studio where they keep all the mycrimes.vid.
Yeah,
and this is like the mycrimes, you know, dot locker or something.
Corpse.
Yeah. Yeah. This is just like Killian's patio. Right?
Yeah. But yeah, it's great. So like, there's a brilliant bit where like Arnie is just doing Donkey Kong and just yeeting barrels of Fireball, and they're all just bouncing off him harmlessly. So then he tips one over, and like it's full of like petrol, and there's a huge explosion, and then Fireball just walks through the flames because he's obviously like, you know, got high resistance to fire damage because of his like suit, even though his head's completely exposed.
He's just got an asbestos head. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you're around fire that much.
But yeah, so like he corners Amber when she's looking at the corpses. She gives her position away by doing like the most theatrical scream you've ever heard because she sees a skeleton. It's like fucking Scooby-Doo, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he corners her and he's explaining to her that, like, you know, they weren't last season's winners, they were last season's losers. And then just as he's about to turn the flamethrower on her, Arnie just comes down out of the ceiling like the fucking Predator and pulls the gas line out of his flamethrower backpack. And then, like, kicks him into the corner and throws a road flare at him while asking if he wants a light.
Oh, and then we get What a Hothead, which is also just, like, A++.
Yeah, it's great. And then, so then they have to call up, like, Captain Beefheart, Jesse Ventura, don't they?
Yeah.
Captain it's Freedom, so good. Who is
Captain Freedom. They put him in this like the most cheap plastic fucking like toy arm I've ever seen. Yeah. And he has a full on like there's too much shit on me, I can't breathe moment and refuses to wear it.
Yeah, he storms into the studio with Killian and he's like, why are
there's a
he
great
looks like your like, school pulls, production of the Tin Man, basically, like running around, but he's Jesse Ventura and he's yoked as fuck.
He pulls one of the plastic sleeves off the suit, and then like there's a great bit where he points at him with the other arm, realizes it looks ridiculous, and then points with the one that doesn't have like a big plastic armor on it. It's fucking great.
Like the fucking chest plate thing cube has like cutlery on it. It's amazing.
It's so good.
It's also great because earlier on they do the whole like we're in the he's in the locker because the thing is he's retired. He used to be a stalker, the greatest one of all time. He's retired, and so they cut to the locker room early on where he's walking through the locker room and it's all staged. And he's like, "Yeah, everyone here is really excited, you know, etc." And then he just gets cut, he starts doing an anecdote.
As soon as he starts reminiscing, they cut him off.
But no, he's not retired, is he? Because he does the one that like does the exercise videos that you see in the beginning.
He's
that,
a retired stalker.
He's retired as a stalker.
Yeah, but like he does like
we weren't reporting him to the DWP or anything. Like we don't care about his other employment status. We were just saying I'm not a stalker anymore.
Yeah. And like his main objection is he's like, you know, 10 years ago I killed men with my bare hands, and there's like honor in it and all this kind of shit, which is great.
He says something about like the gladiatorial fucking tradition or something, doesn't he? It's so good. And so they decide instead to like, which is this is the film's like greatest fucking like achievement, I think. They completely fucking accurately predicted deepfakes.
Yes, that's what I put in my notes as well.
It's mind blowing, like how it is exactly the fucking technology that people on Reddit use to do sex crimes.
Exactly. When they should be using it to do fake wrestling matches.
Yeah. Well, not even fake, because they kill the stuntman.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Which is a great touch, I think. Like, yeah. So yeah, they have Jesse Ventura kill a stuntman, and then they stick like Arnie's face on him, and then broadcast like that as if it's happening live. And then, like by this point, Arnie and Amber have met up with Mick Fleetwood, and
who's apparently like living inside the zone, but like behind the world's worst hidden trap door or something.
They go into a bit, and then these gates shut, and they're like, "We're trapped." And then Mick Fleetwood bursts out of the most flimsy plywood wall you've ever seen.
Yeah. Also, so like, had the they actually put him in old man makeup? They had,
yes,
right?
They must have done. He was only about 40 when this came out.
But why? Like, it's such a confusing choice.
Because it's even better than this.
He's meant to be Mick Fleetwood, but 30 years like later.
He's actually meant to be himself.
That's why they call him Mick in the film. I'm pretty sure because at one point he talks about how the government censored all his songs. I'm pretty sure he's just meant to be future Mick Fleetwood.
Oh, this is the best film ever made. Holy shit!
What's great about his old man makeup is it's not consistent between his first appearance and then this later appearance. It's like almost intentionally like not correct. It's great.
Yeah, it's So they meet up with him and he says like, you know, they've got the uplink code now, and they've got the fucking mycrimes.mp4 on like memory card, so they can overthrow the TV signal. But as soon as they do, the like TV people will just turn it off. So they need like Frank Zappa's kid to go and like take hostages at the TV station, and Arnie volunteers to go with them because he's now like a freedom fighter. And
he smokes another cigar at this point as well, right?
Yeah.
Like to cement his communist cred.
Yeah. So they all go and like storm the TV center as they're wrapping up the end of the Running Man, and there's like some gunfire. Amber has a micro Uzi with a scope on it, which is just a fucking incredible combination, I think.
you don't want to miss, do you, Jamie?
They had to give her a nice ladylike weapon.
Yeah. And she kills Dynamo, who's like trying to do a sexual assault.
In his pants. Shoots the...
Yeah. Yeah, just he's still wearing
in his
like,
little
fucking...
tidy whities. He is like
he's still wearing the glow in the dark plastic armor with the lights on, but then like Y fronts underneath it, which is just a fucking horrifying combination. But she shoots a sprinkler and he gets electrocuted. And she calls him a dickless moron with a battery up his ass, which is a nice touch, like. And then Arnie bursts into the fucking studio, at which point like a bunch of fascist stormtroopers just emerge out of the woodwork and start shooting the audience. Because, you know, just in case the satire wasn't driven home well enough. So they kill all the soldiers, he corners Killian. Sven comes out and Killian thinks he's saved, but then like Sven effectively resigns. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Sven's like, I'm team steroid now, see you later.
Yeah, Sven goes on strike. He withholds his labor because his boss is a prick. And so Arnie like fucking shoots his boss down a tube. And,
and they remove the
safety net at the bottom.
Yeah, the safety net's missing, so he hurtles through a billboard and explodes.
It is a great way to go.
Yeah.
What was Arnie's quip for that one?
That hit the spot because that's the tagline for the cola.
The billboard is a fucking poster of Killian selling Cadre Cola. Yeah, and then he kisses the girl and, like, humanity's saved.
Yeah, we have full communism now because the TV
got
broke.
No, we don't. This is my favourite bit of the movie, which I genuinely enjoy. It's like, rather than, you know, oh, we've brought down, you know, this television show and everything's great now, it's just everybody just kind of started betting on Arnie instead. And there's no, like, you know, there's no change. There's not even a suggestion.
You see the guys at the betting place, like, all just throw all the money and everything in the air and cheer at the end.
Their guy won, but not because, like, you know, fascism has ended or they're not hungry anymore. It's just like,
no, I mean,
Arnie's
the guys,
just like, well,
the two,
I'm out of here now.
The two guys, like, running the fucking betting shop who are basically fucked at that point because they put the odds on Arnie at 100 to 1 for some insane reason.
Yeah, when he's killed, like, three stalkers or whatever.
Yeah.
They knew they were doing agitprop. They were like,
yeah. But they're like cheering as well because, you know, evil is vanquished.
Exactly. That's why
evil's vanquished and we made a huge loss.
It's a happy. Well, it doesn't matter because money is
because
abolished.
Money isn't real. Yeah.
Yeah, because we've got full communism now. That's
this is in many ways a prequel to Star Trek.
Yeah.
It can't be a prequel because they do reference it in the film.
Oh, yeah, there's true, this actually, Mr. Yeah. Spock reference, isn't there?
Yeah.
Who the Mick fuck's Fleetwood. That?
Yeah, Mick Fleetwood calls one of his fucking nerds Mr. Spock. He's like, you have the con, and the kid's just like, the fuck are you talking about, old man?
In a lot of ways, it's just like this podcast.
I guess means in their universe, they didn't get Next Generation or Deep Space Nine, but also didn't get Discovery and Picard, so it's impossible to say if it's good or bad.
Well, that's the universe that I live in, so you can just choose not to watch the shit ones. It's great.
Not if you're David. But yeah, and so that's the end of the film, and like, what did we learn apart from the fact that it's fucking awesome?
Yeah, that we learned that we need to return to the 80s.
And this is the future that Jeremy Corbyn wanted. So
yeah, exactly.
I've learned that I would if we ever do get around to doing a live show, that I will insist we all wear branded tracksuits like the Running Man.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you'd wear the Dynamo costume. That'd
be good. No. Look, that's...
Can you sing opera, Rob?
I'm not a family member. It's traditional. You can't just, like, say, take away somebody's ancestral costume.
Are you
like
saying
that
opera singing is a heritable trait?
He's Dutch. Don't question their methods.
Yeah, quite literally, my culture is not your costume.
Yeah, what a banger of a film.
It's fucking, it's great. Like, it is tremendous. And it, like I say, it came out the same year as RoboCop. Like,
what else?
I think it's not a stretch to say this film and RoboCop are like foundational to my fucking like politics.
It's the same year as The Lost Boys as well. What an absolute banger of a year for cinema.
The Lost Boys was an excellent fucking film.
I mean, it's not. It's a really, really bad film, but Kiefer Sutherland is the most beautiful creature that he's ever been in that film.
No, I'm sorry. It is peak bad. It's peak good bad film in my book. Like, I love that
I haven't
film.
Seen The Lost Boys since I was in school. And I mean, we loved it when we were in school, but there was like swearing and violence in it, so we...
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot fucking put into words how popular The Running Man was when we were like 11 years old. It was just the greatest work of art we'd ever seen.
I think how old I must have been when I watched it.
Because it's also like, especially from the introduction onwards, it's basically a video game. And
yeah.
I mean that in like a good way.
Yeah. It's great. They don't make them like that anymore, basically. Like, anything now that they try to make like that has this real, like, insincere parody feel to it, and it's like, you just want something to be like a dirty 80s action movie, and they just don't exist now.
Yeah.
I think there's a real problem, which is that in today, in modern day, satire falls into two camps, one of which is, like, insincere kitsch, which sucks because it's insincere. And the other one is, it's got to be highbrow to be satire, which is like, the menu or whatever. And sometimes that lands, but the problem is we're missing sincere, like, fucking really gonzo satire. Just doesn't really...
Yeah.
You just don't get it the way like you did in the 80s.
Well, it's also like people, like, I feel like there's not enough of like, I'm just going to put this in because I think it's dope. For example, in They Live, when there's a pointlessly long wrestling showdown between Rowdy Roddy Piper and Keith
that
Davis.
Was so good.
Like, that's the best bit of the fucking film, but now just people would be like, why is this
glasses.
In here? Yeah.
Do you know why that's in it? It's such a good story. Like, they said to him, right, so you guys need to have a fight when you force the glasses on him. And so they start filming it, and they start beating, like, the shit out of each other. They're just, like, they're professionals, and they're going to have fun with
it.
Yeah, of course. And someone goes to stop, and the director said, no, just let them do it. They know what they're doing. Just let them film the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what
and
I'm
so
saying.
And so they just keep running.
That's what I'm saying. They
and
need to, like, put stuff in, because it's just because it's cool to put it in.
Yeah, it's just...
Maybe The Running Man is actually a prequel to Starship Troopers.
maybe every 80s film takes place in the same universe.
Yeah.
And we can timeline them all together.
They Live was just a year after this as well, so like Hollywood was really firing on all fucking cylinders.
Yeah, amazing. Good cocaine. That's what I've been saying all along. And also,
I mean, They Live is a good shout out because it's exactly the same kind of like just full on batshit balls to the wall fucking like like blunt as fuck satire. But also has a bunch of like incredibly cool lines that kids would recite in the schoolyard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything
also,
a young Jamie wants.
Also, I think
to
the point of like you couldn't just do like a just balls of the wall 80s movie anymore. Would it be a terrible thing to say that that's true? Because I think the closest modern equivalent to The Running Man is probably like Ready Player One, which is ass on like.
Oh, how fucking dare you, mate!
I was going to say because this is brilliant and thingy. This is like the other thing is ass. Like,
but it's like,
I'm not trying to get at like fucking the other, man. Jesus.
Ready Player One isn't meant to be satirical or anything. It's fucking, it's just like
it's
nostalgia
awful.
Wank for idiots.
Exactly. It's nostalgia wank, right? Like, basically, Ready Player One was the first AI generated movie, right? Like, it's just somebody just put in, here are all the films I like, and I make me a new film, and it's dog shit.
No, they just, they got that, that fucking post where it's I'm having a birthday party and every anime character, fictional character ever created is invited, and they put that into ChatGPT.
Right, I'm just going to stop you there because Game Master Anthony has one quality which is absolute sincerity that this kind of soulless dreck lacks.
Do you know Do you know who makes films that are like real good, sincere, stupid, satirical action movies? Mr. Neil Breen. That's the modern filmmaker.
Actually, there is a pedigree there. You can tell what he was inspired by.
Exactly.
You're not wrong.
Everybody go and watch some Neil Breen movies. A lot of them are free on YouTube.
For good fucking reason.
You will have an amazing time.
I was going to say, Ready Player One is just Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen for people who shag Funko Pops.
He ain't wrong.
Awful.
Yeah, checks out. Nothing to add.
I don't know. I don't know what it is that's caused satire to just so completely die, though, in comparison.
It's Star because Troopers. We live in a universe that's too preposterous to handle satire anymore.
Yeah.
It's Starship Troopers because Starship Troopers, like, that was the point where where Hollywood realized that Paul Verhoeven was ripping the fucking piss. Like, that film come out, you know what I mean? And it was just like, and everyone went, oh, this is just fascist propaganda. And like, started that whole argument about whether it was like, you know, it's not, it's satire, you fucking idiots. And Hollywood couldn't, like, no one did that for RoboCop, so they just assumed he'd made a good action film and he wasn't like fucking, absolutely fucking like yanking their chain while taking their money. But yeah, no one has the guts to fucking make films like this anymore after Starship Troopers. Because that was so on the nose that they couldn't fucking ignore the fact that they were being made fun of by the guy they were paying anymore.
It was pretty funny the way that all went down, because like all the American reviews at the time are like, you know, just going, oh, this is fascist propaganda, blah, blah, blah. Then it hits Europe, and all the Europe things like, yes, this is excellent satire, it's wonderful, it's really well put together. But like, you know, German reviews are saying it's a brilliant send-up of like,
I mean,
you know, fascist ideology, etc.
If you want an example of how fucking like badly fucked Hollywood's like approach to this sort of shit is now, they've been trying for years to remake Starship Troopers, and they can't get it off the ground because their own fucking, like, their only demand for whoever has to adapt it is that it has to adapt the book straight. They can't rip the piss this time.
And it's the thing is, if you've ever read the book, right, it's fucking terrible. It's just, it's absolute fascist dreck, right? And, you know, to want to do a straight, if they ever do a straight adaptation of it, it's going to be really bad because all the fascists are going to, like, just not sharp about it. So,
It's also going to be really bad just purely because you shouldn't remake, like, perfect films.
Yeah, let's just have some new stuff.
I haven't seen the new RoboCop because why would I do that to myself?
Oh boy.
It's bad.
But I have seen the new Total Recall because Colin Farrell was in it and I love that guy, and it's fucking dreadful.
Oh, actually, well, the new Judge Dredd was actually a good, solid 80s movie, right?
Actually, yeah, that's true.
Like, I feel like that's one of a rare entry.
Yeah, someone should do a podcast about that.
I think they...
no.
Shan't.
It's impossible. It can't be done.
We could just do it again, but this time not invite Rob on and like substitute Lila for Rob. And
Rob was the problem there.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to see how much of this makes it in.
Yeah,
probably none, but it's worth the crap.
I mean, honestly, like, if you were tuning into like cultural committee for like serious whatever, and not us just like bouncing around like morons, I don't know what you were expecting. I hope all this stays in.
Yeah,
I can see why this is the last ever cultural committee, according to David.
Yeah, we got to get all the kicking in before we log off for the evening.
I don't know. I've got the keys to the fucking Podbean. I can put this thing up now, no problem.
Yeah, I think Yeah, there's definitely like Dredd definitely counts, but it was done on a very low budget.
Yeah.
Like it's a very like indie production.
I think that's the vibe, isn't it? Because things I like it when things look a bit shit. Like that's kind of, yeah. Like, I think that's just
I think the last
too shiny.
The last big Hollywood attempt at some sort of like future dystopia satire thing was possibly In Time.
Oh my god. Well, no, that was a movie.
We're just going to have to wait for Dredd 2.
I'm sitting here kind of depressed, Jamie, because you might not be wrong about In Time, actually. I'm trying to think of any film that came after it which attempted like satire in the same way.
I went to see that in the cinema. What a bad film.
It's a great film.
What's not to like about Olivia Wilde failing to run in a straight line when she's literally got seconds left on her clock?
I mean, the thing is that is like definitely sincere. You can't.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, actually,
it is. It's 100%. Yeah.
But yeah, should we wrap this up then?
Yeah, let's go. Let's get the fuck out of here.
All right. Okay. So, Lila, you want to plug anything?
I might be back streaming soon. Twitch.tv/leechwaifu. Nice. Follow me on Twitter. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, subscribe to her DeviantArt where she has Arnie and what's-his-face, slash fiction, so...
That's actually my AO3, get it right.
I don't know all the websites.
I know.
Sweet summer child Alistair. So, okay, if you are, you know, not a patron, please become a patron. Come to patreon.com/praxiscast. We'd love to have you. We have bonus content, etc., etc.
We'll tell you about the whales. And motherfucker, you need to hear about the whales.
Everybody needs to hear about the fucking whales.
Last month's bonus episode was one of the best we've done. Come and learn about whales, please.
It's fucking great.
We also tend to do streaming. There's regular streaming on Wednesdays and Thursdays on twitch.tv/praxiscast. There's also irregular streaming that's returning, where I'm streaming Tears of the Kingdom for the time being. So, you know, look forward to that.
Yeah, or Jamie, not, as it's irregular. Just, you know, if it's there, it's there. And if it's not, it's not. If you're not glued to our Twitter feed, then go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, what are you doing with your life? Come on. Like, you've not got anything better to do. It's too hot. We also sell merch if you can be bothered. What is it again? Praxiscast.tmail.com.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. On. And I think that's it. Have we got anything else we need to plug? No.
No. Yeah. Watch The Running Man.
Watch The Running Man. Right,
sure. Just watch good 80s cinema generally. I mean, you know, if this is indeed our last ever cultural committee, then we just recommend the 80s in Hollywood.
It's not because I'm going to bully you into watching Andor.
Yeah,
because it really is good.
Fucking loathe and hate all things like pew-pew lasers, but like Andor is legitimately good. And like,
do you know what it
the
is?
The amount
of
pain it causes me to have to say that is incredible.
Oh, yeah,
do you know what it is, Rob? I like legitimately hate all the fucking Star Wars stuff since Andor. Like, the wife's on at me to watch the third season of the Baby Yoda show, which like previously I thought was fucking meant because I'm a child. But I've seen Andor now, and I'm like, it's not going to be as good.
Ashes in your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, my problem is, my honest thing is, like, I'm prepared to take Rob and David and others at their word that Andor is actually good. The problem is there will be another season of it, and it won't be.
Yeah, but we'll talk about this
because you can
only get
to do some...
Like,
I'm
not asking you to like tattoo the name Andor on your genitals or anything.
This is
just like fucking...
If I watch this season, then when the next
we're so good at wrapping
season
up,
comes
you guys.
Out, I'll be compelled to wear that.
Fucking nailed it.
Bye.
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 And stop.